You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 118. Hey Bitches, what is up, you guys? It's your girl, Carly. Welcome back to Hey Bitches Podcast. Hope you guys are having an incredible day. Today we are back for part two of our Spectrum episode, where we sit down and we talk to three more incredible people to bring awareness about things that aren't just in the traditional LGBTQ plus acronym. Things like being two-spirit, pansexual, queer, everything in between. I'm very excited to have all of these guests on today, so I will stop blabbering on and we can get into the episode. You guys, next up we have Kai. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. Before we get into it, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the people.
For sure. So, I'm Eskuti Waskaikan Otehnia, Kyron Potts Magepchat, Alexis Nakoda Su Nation Chadeha Himochat. My name is Kyron Potts. I identify as Winkde Woodstoney from the Alexis Nakoda Su Nation in Treaty 6 territory. And I'm a two-spirit person.
That was so mesmerizing to watch. I didn't know. I was expecting that, but I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
It's always important for us to speak our indigenous languages.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to talk about that. As you have heard, Kai is incredible, and I'm very excited to have you on here to talk all about two-spirit. And so this is something that I truthfully do not know a lot about. When I was looking into this episode, was kind of looking more into, like I said, all of the different letters in the current acronym, what it means. And I didn't want to come on here and do a bunch of Google and be like, hey, this is what it means, like, because it's not me. So I'm very excited to have you on here to kind of just chit chat, talk through, and help the people, and also just bring light to everything that two-spirit means and represents to you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. I said a little bit about it in my introduction, but essentially to answer the age-old question, the million-dollar question, what is two-spirit? Oh my gosh. And I swear to God, I get asked this. I swear to Creator, I get asked this like every single day by about 5 people every
day. Really?
Yeah. And like, I live my life quite liberally online in social media platforms. And so I open myself up by proxy to a lot of comments and, you know, a lot of good comments, a lot of awful comments, but just I open myself up to a lot of feedback and a lot of questions. And so this is probably the question I get asked the most of any question. So I have a lot of experience answering this question.
Perfect.
What is two-spirit? And I think my answer changes all the time, depending on who I'm speaking to. But essentially, if I really was going to give like a two-spirit 101 or something like that, what it boils down to is two-spirit is a contemporary term using colonizers' language. We have to understand English is not our language. It doesn't belong to us.
What would you call it in your native language?
Well, I identified myself earlier as Winkde. I'm Winkde.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah,
Winyan. Or kind of loosely translated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Winkde in my language, in Ithka, in Stony, translates loosely, very loosely, to a male-bodied person who moves through the world as a woman.
Okay.
Upon further sort of research into that word and what that means, the translation actually goes even further into basically being like he who walks between two worlds. And so this term two-spirit is a very modern contemporary term that has literally only been coined in the 1990s by Dr. Myra Laramie and also Albert McLeod at a two-spirit gathering, a national gathering. Literally within the last 20 years. And it attempts, this term two-spirit attempts to describe something that is very complex and very intricate and exists time immemorial and exists in so many different indigenous nations within Turtle Island or North America. And like, for example, I said, I'm Winkde because I am Nakota Sioux. I'm a Stony person. I'm not Cree, but there are many, many, many Cree people in Canada. And so a lot of Cree people say Ayakwe in their language, Ayakwe, neither man nor woman is what it translates to. And even Anishinaabe Moen, the Ojibwe language, they say Nij Manudwag, somebody, two-souled person, someone with two souls. And that's actually where the term two-spirit came from, is Nijmanadwag, from the Ojibwe term of being a two-souled person, somebody who walks between the world with two souls. And to me, that's just so beautiful. And it explains something that is so, it seems like modern contemporary society, colonized white society, just really has a problem with people not fitting into their boxes of, you know, men need to wear this and women need to do this and, you know, penis, vagina, like that's really all it comes down to a lot of the times. And so I'm so proud of being an Indigenous person who identifies as two-spirit, because this identity, this spiritual identity, represents way more than just who I have sex with and who I decide to go into the bedroom with. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. And a lot of two-spirit people did take same-sex partners. That was a big part of it. However, that's just this little thing that really, like, there are two-spirit people who are asexual. So it's like, being two-spirit is not synonymous with being a gay Indigenous person. Like, oh, you're gay and you're Native, bam, two-spirit. No, it doesn't work like that. It implies so much more. And I always tell people, when they say what is two-spirit, it's a responsibility. It's a role that I play in my community. I identify as a Winkte two-spirit person so proudly because I know that I put in the work in my own community, in my own backyard. I'm meeting up with the youth. I'm creating sharing circle ceremonies. I'm creating workshops. I'm giving so much of myself to my community so that young people can learn from me and learn from my mistakes and learn from my successes and all of these things, because that's one of the traditional roles of being a two-spirit person. Two-spirit people held very sacred and very important roles within society. Like we had literally intricate societies that functioned beautifully pre-contact, before Canada was ever even a thing. And we had very beautiful ideas and worldviews about gender diversity and the way that men and women moved through the world. You were not simply a woman because you could give birth and you decided to take care of children or cook food for people. You were not a man because you hunted and went to war. No. They had two-spirit people who literally walked between both worlds. They could do all of those things, and they were regaled. Not only were they accepted, I don't even like using the words accepted and tolerated and all these kind of things. They were celebrated, and they were put on literal pedestals. They were like, they always say two-spirit people were a gift from the creator. Wankantanka, the great creator, Kismanto, the great spirit, gifted two-spirit people to our nations, because they were believed to have both the spirit of masculine and feminine within one body that blended so seamlessly. They were able to walk between those both worlds, and they had better perspectives about the world. And because they had these two spirits, they were believed to have more spiritual attunement. And so creator was like able to communicate with them more. And so they were like spiritual conduits almost. And a lot of ceremonies would not even happen until a two-spirit person was present in the ceremony. They would have specific roles for that two-spirit person to play. And so it's not fair to be like, oh, a gay Native person, wow, he's two-spirit. It implies so much more. And I always encourage folks who want to identify as two-spirit or want to learn more about it to look into their own communities, because I speak as a Stony person, as a Nakota Sioux person. I don't speak as a Cree person or a Anishinaabe person or, you know, Ojibwe or Blackfoot or any of these things. I speak from my own community. And I know that there are so many different teachings about gender diversity, and they have so many different beautiful words. Even Indigenous people that aren't Indigenous to Turtle Island, like the Maori people, people in Hawaii, people, all these different areas who have their own beautiful teachings about gender diversity. And I encourage folks who want to learn more about two-spirit or who feel like they are two-spirit to look into their own community and be like, what do we think about this idea? What teachings do we have as people about gender diversity? I want to learn more about that. So long story short, yeah, that's essentially what two-spirit means to me.
I love that. Mm-hmm. You can tell as long of a story as you want. I think that was honestly such a great explanation. I feel like in that, even what was that, 6 minutes that you talked about that, I'm like, this makes so much sense. And I'm happy that you touched on two-spirit people having specific roles and rituals. That's something that when I was kind of doing the research on, I thought was really interesting to be like, ah, like, and then you validated it and saying like, literally, like a lot of things just didn't happen without two-spirit people. And I think that's super interesting. And I love how educated you are. Obviously you're part of the community, but just how passionate you are as well in sharing that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. This is life-saving work. I always say like people are always like, wow, you're so educated. And they're like, I have to be. Like, this is life promotion. This is a matter of life and death for a lot of Indigenous people on reserves who have literally never even had any representation in any type of media at all. It's no mystery why Indigenous youth in Canada have the highest rates of suicide, of taking their lives, like way above any other type of people. They're the fastest growing population exponentially, and yet they're the fastest, they're the people who take their lives the most at young ages. And there are things called cluster suicides that happen on reserves where a young person will take their life and then four or five other people will take their life because of it. And they happen in small reserves like that. And there's mental health and supports for reservations are so criminally underfunded in Canada. And there is an active genocide against Indigenous people in Canada. I mean, you see all these unmarked graves where all these babies are being dug up all across the country. Like how can we as young Indigenous people move through the world without feeling a sense of like guilt? Like there's so many, like we literally were not supposed to be here. The Canadian government tried very, very hard for Indigenous youth not to be a thing. Forced sterilizations, Indigenous schools, day schools, the 60 scoop, all of these different things that have happened in our past to literally wipe out Indigenous people. And yet we're still here wearing beautiful earrings. And we're saying like, hey, like I am important. I am here and I am a two-spirit person. I'm queer as well. Like I'm so proud of that. And so it's literally my job and my responsibility, not only to know about this stuff, but to have teachings and to share that. I have a moral obligation to my people, to my community, and to like talk to the like little baby guys and be like, it's gonna be okay. Like you deserve to be here. Like it's all good. And like to live and be that example for them. So yeah, every time people are like, wow, you have so much knowledge. I'm like, I have to, because it's so important. It's life. It's literally a matter of life and death, this work.
I love that.
So thank you for acknowledging that.
Of course. I would love to kind of know, with being two-spirit, is this something that you can choose to identify as, or is it something that you feel as though you are and then continue through? Is it, you know, how do Indigenous youth or people get to being two-spirit?
Good question. This is a really good question because it's very important to talk about. I started identifying as a two-spirit person until I was about 18-ish. And I was actually told that I was two-spirit. It wasn't something that I was just like, wow, I love that. I'm going to call myself that. It was like, I remember crying in my cousin's car and being like, hey, I'm dating a guy. And him being like, oh yeah, I know. And I'm like, really? And they're like, I was like, yeah, how did you know I'm gay? And they were like, you're not gay. You're two-spirit. And I was like, what is that? Like, I kept hearing this term, two-spirit, two-spirit, two-spirit. And it never made sense to me. It was just like, what does that mean? And also I actually actively went against it because it was like, I don't want to be different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I'm not taking that on. That has nothing to do with me. I am who I am. And like, get that away from me, basically. Because I was young and I didn't know any better. But yeah, I slowly moved into it. And actually, I was in a relationship for a very long time with my boyfriend of 8 years. And I met him when I was 18, when I was just a little baby. And he and I got together and he was 1 year older than me. And he and I, and our friend, our mutual friend, Nikki and Melanie actually met my partner, but he and I were together for almost a decade. And knowing all the work I do in the community, everything that I stand for, you would assume that an Indigenous man that I'm with would identify as two-spirit. But he didn't, even though he's like more Indigenous than I am almost. Like, not almost, he is. Like, both of his parents are right from the reserve. Like, his dad's a counselor. Like, literally, super, super res, like hardcore Nietzsche, like hardcore native, right? Really beautiful, dark skin, long black hair, like just as native as it gets. And yet he never identified as Two-Spirit while we were together. He identifies as it now, but for the almost 10 years that we were together in a relationship, he never said that he was Two-Spirit. I was always the one saying I was Two-Spirit. And he would just identify as a queer Indigenous person. And I always, for a little bit, I felt like, why don't you say you're Two-Spirit? And I was like mad, kind of. But then I matured and, you know, I grew up and I realized Two-Spirit is an identity that implies so much more than just face value, right? And like I said earlier, how it's a responsibility to my community. I would not feel comfortable calling myself Two-Spirit if I didn't do the work that I do. I would not feel comfortable calling myself Two-Spirit if I didn't get to go into the community and help young people and be that little bridge, that little mediator between them finding their way and, like, you know, and helping them out with all their mental health things and stuff like that. That was really important to me. And I felt really secure in my Two-Spirit identity, knowing that I did what I needed to do for my, and I continue to do, and even conversations like this, I'm claiming my Two-Spirit role by, like, raising awareness and advocating for young people. But my partner never called himself Two-Spirit. Didn't mean that he didn't do all the work I do, but it just meant he just didn't feel comfortable. This wasn't his term. And you know what? That is okay. Like I said earlier, being Two-Spirit is not synonymous with being a gay Native person. It is so much more than that. And there's so many things that you need to unpack in that spiritual identity. And so he simply just identified as, like, indigiqueer, which is another term that a lot of Indigenous youth use to identify themselves now. Indigiqueer.
I heard that. I'm very excited that you brought that up.
I think it's beautiful.
I like it a lot.
I identify as indigiqueer. And yeah, I love it. I think it's super awesome because we understand as Indigenous people, our queerness is not separate from our indigeneity. It is intrinsic to who we are, just as our indigeneity. And so I don't ever say, I'm a queer person and I'm Indigenous. It's like, no, I am a queer Indigenous person. That's just who I am at all times in everything that I do. And I get a lot of, like, flack, I think, from a lot of people being like, how come you only talk about being queer and Native? Like, don't you have any other kind of, like, like, imagine basing your whole personality on being, like, a queer Native person, like, all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Like, literally, I want to go into spaces and make them queer Indigenous spaces because there are so many youth who do not ever, ever, ever see a queer Native person happy. That's why it's important for me to take up those spaces. Yes, it makes up a huge part of my personality because it's literally who I am. I cannot turn off a switch and be like, bam, not gay and Native anymore. What the hell else am I? That's literally who I am. So I have no problem being like, hey, I'm like super queer and I'm Native. This is, like, a big part of who I am. I have no problem with that because it's something I'm super proud of. And also, it's so important that I mention that I am in those spaces because there is nobody else in those spaces doing it. There is no space for Indigenous queer people in any type of media, in gaming, in TV, in movies, anything like that. You just don't see. When was the last time you saw a queer Native person on the big screen in a main role?
Literally ever.
Exactly. It just doesn't happen. And I am actually on 15 billboards now as of Wednesday. 15 billboards went up across Canada with my face on them because I'm a part of a huge TikTok campaign called Living Stories. And
oh my gosh, yeah. One of my friends too is on one in LA.
Yeah. So there you go. It's like I'm now on 15 billboards across Canada and I'm super queer looking in all of them. I'm wearing, like, makeup and I have eyelashes on, I think, and I'm wearing really cute beady earrings. That is so important. I will continue to take up those spaces because it is so, so, so important for us to be able to take up those spaces so that young people can, like, tune in. You know, like, Indigenous youth on the reserve, there's nothing to do on the reserve. Like, a lot of them are, like, third world conditions. Like, it's rough. Like, there's nothing to do. They go bumper dragging and steal stuff and, like, play in the, like, forest. There's, like, literally nothing to do. So a lot of these youth sell drugs or they do drugs or they drink. And a lot of them have phones. And so what do? You just, like, read shit online or, like, go on YouTube or whatever, watch Netflix. There are a lot of them are on social media. So that's why it's important. Like, I don't want to be on TikTok. I don't want to be TikTok famous or anything like that. But I recognize it's way bigger than me. It's important that I go where the youth are so that I can spread this message for them. I need them to be able to open their apps and see me and be like, wow, I've never seen a queer native person on my For You page. And then there I am. And I'm like, you can be here too. You deserve to be here. So that's like that bigger conversation, right? So,
absolutely. Yeah. I would love to know, for the people who are listening right now who might be resonating with what you are saying about identifying as Two-Spirit, what are kind of the next steps if there are people listening who are like, oh, this is making a lot of sense. I have never really heard this before. You know, what are the next steps?
Well, I always say if you're an Indigenous queer person and Two-Spirit sounds like something that resonates with you, if it sounds like it makes sense, or if it sounds like it like describes you, or if it feels right, then I just identify as it. Just go for it. Take that identity on and then start the work later. But be proud of that. Take it on. It's yours to take. That's your identity to take. And I think a lot of young people feel really, they have a lot of trepidation around taking on this identity because they're like, oh, I don't know enough about it. I don't feel like, you know, I'm white passing, so I'm not native enough to take on this identity. Or they say like, no one's taught me about it. No one's given me permission to like be Two-Spirit, all these types of things. And I'm like, honey, there is no, someone's not gonna like, you know, knight you and be like, you are now Two-Spirit. Like, there is none of that. If it sounds like something that makes sense to you and it resonates with your spirit and your soul, you take that identity on, honey. You represent yourself as a Two-Spirit person. And then, to answer your question, the next steps, I would say, is start looking into that. Why does Two-Spirit sound like it represents me so much? Yes, I acknowledge I'm Two-Spirit. What does that mean? And let me look into that, into my own community. Reach out to your knowledge keepers, the elders in your community. Reach out to those people. There are ceremony holders within each community that do these types of things, and they have those teachings about Two-Spirit people. So I say reach out to those. And if it's difficult, if you don't know anybody in your community who may be Two-Spirit or may have teachings about being Two-Spirit, reach out to me. I'll help you. Like, you could also reach out to like the Two Spirits in Motion Foundation, who is a national foundation, and they literally deliver medicines to folks. They have like counseling, free counseling from Two Spirit elders. Reach out to my organization, Two Spirit People of the First Nations. Reach out to the Edmonton Two Spirit Society. Reach out to all of these different organizations and say, what can I do? I am a Two Spirit person. I'm on this journey. What are the next steps? How can you help me? What are the resources out there? Reach out to those people. That's part of being Two-Spirit is literally that mediation, right? It's like helping people, being the in-between, the bridge for a lot of people. And so that's why I say, like, if somebody wants to know what are the next steps are discovering what that means to you. And that means asking a lot of questions. That means sitting in ceremonies. That means going where the teachings are. And a lot of the times that means being in ceremony with elders and being in ceremony with knowledge keepers. And if it's difficult to reconnect and find those knowledge keepers, reach out to the people that I just mentioned or me, and I will help you figure out the rest of it.
Okay, I love that. I feel like that is a perfect conversation point to segue into the end of our episode. Thank you so much for coming on here. And before we go, I would love for you to share where the people can find you on social media, anything that you're doing that they can support you on, and then anything else you would like to plug.
Yeah, for sure. So I just go by O'Kairin, O-H-K-A-I-R-Y-N, on pretty much every social media. So if you just type that into anything, you'll probably find me. You can also find me on Facebook under Kairin Potts. And you can reach out to the Edmonton Two-Spirit Society, which is an organization that I helped create in Edmonton for folks that are just looking for support with being Two-Spirit, anything like that. And then there's also the Two Spirits in Motion Foundation, which is a national foundation for folks all across Canada at a national level. And then in Toronto, where I'm currently based, I work for the Two-Spirit People of the First Nations is the organization name here in Toronto, which offers services and supports to the queer Indigenous community and all over the GTA And yeah, you can reach out to us through any channel. We're always very active on social media, especially now because of COVID. All of our programming has pretty much gone virtual. So everyone's ready and waiting to answer any types of inquiries that come in on social media. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out. And if anything that I've said tonight sounds like something that resonates with you, then yeah, don't hesitate to like reach out. We're a big community and we're a loving community as well. And there's a lot of strength in your spirit. In our language, we say owagi shakabi, which means there is strength in your spirit. And as two-spirit people, we have a lot more strength.
Okay, I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing all of the knowledge that you shared with us and also for spending your time with me. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I follow you on social media now, so I'm kind of a fan. So I appreciate you inviting me on and for creating space for two-spirit people to come in and talk about themselves. It may seem like a little gesture, but it's a big thing considering the fact that two-spirit people aren't represented anywhere. So it's important to like create and hold space for those specific people. So I do really appreciate it. And I say Ishnish, Chim and Gritch, thank you so much.
Next up, we have Emily on the podcast. I would love for you to introduce yourself and share with the audience just what you identify as and your sexual orientation.
For sure. So excited to be here. My name's Emily. I'm 26. I'm a Sagittarius and I'm demisexual.
Okay, I love that. When you replied to my story, I was like, okay, I have no idea what this means. And you know what's been really interesting, actually, is since we had that conversation, I actually have had a couple friends be like, I think I am like demi-romantic. And I was like, this is so interesting. So I have learned a lot in the past, like, 3 days. But
I'm excited for you. That's an awesome opportunity to connect with other people who identify on the scale, since like I feel like talking about demisexuality and the spectrum of asexuality is like a lot of people are either uncomfortable or they're unsure or they're just like, I don't know what that means.
Absolutely.
And the reality is
that
it's valid for whoever you are, however you're feeling.
Absolutely. And it's funny because we also had a friend in my same friend group be like, I actually think I'm asexual. And I was like, this was like months ago too. And I was like, okay, this just solidifies to me that I need to have this conversation. So I'm excited to have you on today to chat more about demisexuality and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be honest, like I do not know much about it. So I would love for you to share with the people.
That's cool. Like, honestly, anyone I've told or kind of like come out to has not really known what I meant. They're like, that's so cool. I really support you. I don't know what that means. And like, it's great when I'm so lucky to have a great group of friends, a boyfriend who's like really validating and like really open to having those conversations and being open to what I have to share to them. Because like, I think the more that you're open, the more you communicate, the more that you're honest about how you're feeling and what that means to you, it's a really great opportunity for other people to be open and share more with you about how they're feeling or somewhere in the spectrum. Because like, absolutely. I think there's so much in the LGBTQIA+2S community that like needs to be shared and open conversations about. And I think demisexuality is something that's really great to talk more about. And for me, what it means is, so demisexuality in general is demi, the term means halfway, like in terms of English. So demi means halfway between sexual and non-sexual. So you identify on a scale that means you have sexual feelings, but they may not be the primary force of your attraction towards someone. So like primary attraction generally is when you feel immediately sexually attracted to someone or you have that kind of like sexual inclination towards someone. Whereas I don't really feel that until I have a romantic or an emotional connection with someone. So a deep connection in terms of like emotions. So I have to have like a very personal connection with them before I even feel sexual attraction. And you'll feel varying levels of sexual attraction, but you don't necessarily need to have a romantic relationship with someone in order to feel sexually attracted to them if you're demisexual. Because in the past, I've had sexual relationships with people which were in a friends with benefits sense because I had a close personal connection to them.
Okay. I find that very interesting because I have had friends of mine probably explain exactly what you said, but not understand that like that was something that a label that they could identify with, which is so interesting. I actually have had a lot of friends say that they can't like have any type of sexual relationship with someone they don't feel any type of way about. Like, I have a lot of friends who, like me, like, I don't give a fuck sometimes. I could just be like, eh, whatever. And, you know, call it a day. But it's interesting because now I am reflecting back on it. And I do have a lot of friends who are like that. And so I'm very glad we're having this conversation because I think probably a lot more people realize that they are demisexual than they realize.
I think until you like hear the term and then kind of do more research, then you're like, it's like a huge light bulb moment. You're like, oh my God, that's me. I totally feel that way. Because like, I didn't initially probably understand how I was feeling for a long time. And like, I probably only really, let's say, put a label on it when I was like in my mid 20s. So like probably when I was 24, I think. So probably in the past 2 years, I felt more comfortable talking about it, sharing about it, and like feeling more at home in my own body and how I'm feeling with my emotions and my sexuality in general.
Absolutely. So I know that you mentioned that you have a partner. I would love to talk about demisexuality and having a partner.
For sure. He's actually here, like literally right beside me.
I love that. So I would love to know, like, did you discuss being demisexual before, or you just kind of like moved through whatever on your own and just made it clear that you were like, I'm not going to have sex with you until we have some type of like relationship, or was it like an open conversation?
Actually, it was quite funny. It was quite the journey for us because we've been dating now for a year and about 2 months. He's like, not, he's like, yes, that long. So a year and 2 months we've been dating, but we didn't really have that conversation probably until we were like 3 or 4 months into dating, because I feel like for demisexual people in general, like the first date, like that feeling is like very intense because you want to ask like a lot of in like more, I would say, deep personal connection questions rather than the general like, hey, how are you? What's your star sign? So you can creep it later and figure out their whole birth chart or like if you're compatible, because you want to know almost within the first couple dates. And I think it's just this way with dating in general. You're like, I don't want to waste my time on you if I'm not going to give a fuck. So for us, I asked like a lot of like really hard hitting questions in the first couple dates, because I really wanted to make sure that we would have that deep connection and that emotional bond would form. Because when you're looking at being in a relationship, when you're demisexual, is you really want to have that initial emotional connection, because then you'll slowly grow that spark to become more sexual later. So for us, we had been dating for quite a while. We put a label on it. We're in a relationship. And he was like, so we haven't really had sex yet. And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, no, we haven't. And he's like, I really want to have that with you. I was like, I do too. I'm like down, but I'm just not like quite there. And he's like, what do you mean you're not like quite there? And I was like, it's not you, it's me. And like, everyone feels stupid when they're like, it's not you, it's totally me. I am not feeling that type of way. And it's not that I'm not feeling that type of way about you, just not like yet, you know? So he's like, looking, he's like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? And I was like, so he really was open to having a sit down conversation. And I was like, we were like having a moment and talking about like future planning. And I was like, oh my God, I totally have to tell him, or else he is just not understanding why this is happening. And I was like, I'd never been in a place where I had to talk to a partner about it. So I was like, oh my God, what do I even say? And eventually I was like, okay, you know what? So I opened with saying, you know, I'm on the spectrum of asexuality and I'm demisexual. And what that means is I have a really deep emotional connection with you, and we formed that. But the sexual attraction comes later, or my feelings about sex may come at different points. And also, like, I feel like when you're on the spectrum of asexuality, like, it's also like the way you feel sexual attraction, or how much varying levels of sexual attraction you're going to feel, are different. So like, he'll be throwing down like cues for, I want to have sex. And I'm like, sorry, what? Like, I'm not picking up what you're throwing down. Like, so I was very lucky that he was very open to that conversation. And he was like, I'm so glad you told, and like the most validating thing he ever said to me was like, I'm so glad that you told me that because it makes so much more sense about you as a person. I feel so much more connected to you and how I can be a better partner to you.
Okay.
And it was just like very, it was very validating. Absolutely. And that's how you want to feel.
Absolutely. And so I would love to talk about, I guess, dating and going forward in terms of relationships and demisexuality, because for me, me personally, like, I don't really think I identify as demisexual because, like, personally, like, I, like I mentioned, like, I love to have sex and it doesn't matter, like, if I'm attracted to them or not. So that's a lie, but, like, on that.
I was going to say, you want to feel some type of way about that.
Some type of way, but, like, not like that. But I would love to kind of know, like, this question I feel like also really stems, like, on the spectrum of asexuality. You know, how do, I hope this isn't rude, but, like, how do relationships, like, how does your relationship fare with, like, non-consistent, I guess shouldn't assume, I don't know if you guys are consistently having sex or not, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like for some of us, like, sex is a really big part of a relationship, and then some of us, obviously, like, it's completely different. And I would love to know, because I don't think is your partner demisexual as well?
No, he's not.
Okay, so I would love to kind of know the like dynamic where that falls. Of how that all like works out.
I think what's the best thing about my partner is that he's so open to so many conversations and like how we can better grow together. And a lot of what, when we were like building our relationship, like, yeah, we do the dirty, like, that happens, but is it as regular as like most couples or most people? Like, I don't know, just because it depends on the relationship. But like for us, what I felt is actually really great is that we've taken a lot of time to really build that emotional connection, which helps me in how I'm feeling in terms of like being sexual with someone. So like, and specifically him. So like, it's great because you form this like deep emotional connection. You can talk about a lot of things and you grow. I feel like our relationship has grown a lot quicker and a lot deeper than any other relationship I've been in because we're both so invested in the conversations we're having, how we're feeling, sharing our emotions openly and sharing how we're feeling, which makes it easier for me to open up about how I'm feeling in terms of sex. And then we're able to get through those conversations of we want to have sex. What can he do to make me feel more in the moment, or what kind of cues can he give? What kind of cues can I give? And where does that move us forward in terms of our relationship and our sexual relationship? Because it's definitely grown over the year we've been together. Because initially it was just kind of like touch and go, and then now it's a lot more consistent.
Okay, cool. I would love to discuss really quick before we wrap up the idea of cues. You've mentioned it a couple times, and I would love to know, like, is it with demisexual, obviously everybody is different, but like with demisexuality, like, are the cues like what is the difference here? Like, is it more mentally stimulating type of, you know, cues,
yeah,
or more like emotionally driven type of like things versus being like, hey, do you want to have sex?
Sometimes it's literally as like on the nose as, do you want to have sex? And it's like, yes, no, I don't know. Like, and I think what's interesting is that, yeah, I don't even realize that I say cues a lot, but like, yeah, there are some cues because I don't necessarily feel the same way about having a high sex drive as most people. Like, you almost miss the cues and I'm a little oblivious to that. And like, in general, it's terrible. Like, when I was a kid, when I was like a teenager, everyone was like, oh, like that celebrity is so attractive. And I'm like, I have the sexual attraction to it the same way I feel about a house plant. Like, it's really pretty, but like, I don't want to have sex with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can appreciate the aesthetics of people, but like, I don't have a sexual attraction to them in that way. So I guess that relates back to the whole like primary attraction to someone. I just don't feel that. And like, in terms of having sex, it's just, you're right. It is like a lot of open communication and cues. So it's like, when I do this, that's how I'm feeling more sexually driven in that moment. And like, what my partner's great at is like saying, what kind of cues or how can I help you be more in the moment? And like, kind of like work that moment up. So like, after we've had like a really deep emotional day, or we spent a lot of like quality time together, and I'm feeling like a lot more like warm and in our relationship and more connected to him, I'm definitely more likely to be feeling sexual. I'm more likely to be feeling sexual attraction or like some type of way about having sex. But like, not necessarily like, it'll be like, it's not the same as like when you're out, like some people will be like, oh,
let's have sex right like, now.
Let's like have sex right now. It's sundress season. Like, pull the panties down. Okay. Let's go. Like,
absolutely.
I just don't feel that. Or I'm just like, he'll be like right now. And I'm like, now? Like here? In this moment? Oh, I'm not like feeling some type of way, but like, sure, I guess.
Okay, cool. I love that. I think that, I mean, I feel like at this point, I have so many questions because I'm just like, this is such a whole new world to me, but thank you so much for coming on. I feel like you had so many like good points. I feel very educated about it. And I'm sure that everybody who's going to be listening will definitely learn a lot more. And before we go, I would love for you to share like where the people can find you on Instagram, anything that you are doing that they can support you with. I would love for you to plug yourself.
For sure. Oh, that's so sweet of you. If you are feeling some type of way, or you want to have any questions or just want to have an open discussion, my Instagram is at Web of M. You can find me there. That's really all I'm doing on the internet right now. But stay tuned for other things because I do a lot of things in my community locally, but I want to start branching out. So you can text me personally on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a great conversation. It's cool that you're just like such a cool person, like online and in real life, and I really appreciate
thank
that.
You All right, next up we have my friend Nixon on the podcast. I'm very excited. Go ahead, introduce yourself to the people.
Hello, I am Nixon, and I identify as transgender, and I guess my whole new sexual orientation would be straight, which is super weird to me still, but I guess that's what I am.
That's the that on that.
That's the that on that.
Okay. I'm excited to have this conversation with you because you guys who are listening, if you follow me on Instagram, when I was, I don't want to say casting, but almost casting for these episodes and exploring different people in the community, I put up a story and I was like, hey, here are all the names from a list that I pulled of people who, you know, these are all the acronyms of the LGBTQ plus, like, plus Q2, like, the whole huge thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no idea what any of this means. So I wrote them all down, and I put them on Instagram, and I quickly learned that it was the wrong term. I don't want to say wrong term. Just a term that, like, I just didn't fully understand.
Maybe outdated.
Outdated is a really good word, just, like, PC, way to say it.
It's PC, technically.
Yeah.
It's politically correct, technically.
Yeah. So went through a lot of trauma with that, which is whatever. I learned a lot from it. But you were one of the people that, when it first happened, I reached out to, and I was like,
that I hurt your feelings.
Literally, though. And that's the thing, too. Like, I want everybody to know, I didn't go to my friends trying to, like, seek validation and be like, tell me this is right because, like, you're part of the community. Like, that's not how I reached out to my friends. Oh, I was just like, oh, my fucking God. Like,
what did I do wrong? Can you explain this to me? Because I don't understand.
Literally. And I also want to say, too, this is what gripes people had with me in the DMs as well, is like, Nix and I are friends. Like, we are friends. I wouldn't have, like, just reached out to a random person to be like, educate me on this, because I fucking get it. Like, coming from, like, a marginalized community, like the Black community, I get it when it's frustrating when people come up to me and try to, like, ask me about the traumas of the Black community.
Yeah, like, teach me about Black history just
exactly.
Because you're Black. Like,
exactly, that's exactly. Like, and so, you know, the people were at my throat for that too. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, these are my friends, man. Like, I don't feel bad. This is something we talked about in the other episode, but like, for you, when George Floyd died and all of that, like, we were having constant dialogues and discussions, and, you know, I wasn't like, do your own research, because, like, we're friends. Like, we can have conversations.
Yeah.
So I also need to preface that, because people were like, it's not on them to teach you. And I was like, I know, but I'm just having conversations with my friends.
Yeah,
so
for real.
I needed to preface that, because I feel like this is a sensitive topic for me, because I don't want to fuck up. So that is why I'm having you on today, to talk about your own lived experience. Because, you know, for me, like I said,
I said on this Instagram story too, like, I'm not part of the community. I didn't mean like I'm not part of the LGBTQ plus community. I just mean I am not transgender.
Yeah.
So I cannot sit here and tell you what is right and what is wrong because it is not me. So I'm really excited to have you on here today because I feel like in your reply, something I love about you is you always give such thoughtful replies. Like, I'll say one thing and you'll send me paragraphs and I'll be like, ah, yes, this is great. So I'm very excited to have you on here and chit chat today.
All right, me too. I'm so stoked to have you or to be here. So I guess you're
It's your show now. Apparently, just taking over. You're the new co-host. Surprise everybody.
You told me this was the first episode. Now I'm nervous.
When I put the story out, the term that was on the slide was transsexual. Now, it is an outdated term, as I have learned. However, the conversation that we were just having before we hit record was that it's not necessarily wrong.
It's not, like, incorrect.
It's not incorrect. Because there are people like you who do identify that way. And I also just need to say, I feel like I'm, like, giving myself so many disclaimers so people don't get it wrong. But, like, I learned that saying transsexual and referring, I wasn't even referring to the transgender community, but even just saying transsexual brings up a lot of trauma within the transgender community for getting mislabeled. And, like, it was almost like a slur.
Yeah, like a derogatory term.
Yeah. And so when I say it's not wrong, I don't mean it in that way. I do mean that there are still people who identify that way. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's not up to me to decide how other people identify, which is why I'm excited to have you on. I feel like I've rambled so much. So I would love for you to kind of explain to the people, you know, how you identify. And I also noticed that you introduced yourself as transgender. And in the conversation that we had, you were kind of like, I'm kind of both, or like I identify like as like.
Like technically it's both.
Yeah.
For me, because like for, if you read both definitions of both those words, like I am both of those things. Like I'm medically transitioning and I'm not what I, like I'm not, I don't identify as what I was assigned for at birth. So like for me, that's technically both. I mean, if you were to like come at me and call me a tranny and like. That I feel like that would be...
That's like an issue.
Yeah, that's problematic. Like, extremely problematic.
Yes, correct.
But, like, for me, like, I didn't take any sort of offense. And, like, I'm pretty relaxed about stuff like that because, like you'll hear in the other episode, like, I've explored so many different... I've done everything along the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I came out so young and, like... So I just, like, for me, like, I'm super relaxed on stuff like that. So if you were to ask me, like, hey, what would you prefer? I guess now, like, just to... Like, I don't know, I kind of fit in with everybody else, I would go with transgender. But, like, if you were to say, like to somebody else that I was a transsexual, it's not wrong, and I'm not going to take offense to it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I never really had to think about it because, like, I was never, I feel like I grew up in such, like a blessed time where, like, I can just identify as what I want to identify as and just be called what I want to be called. And, like, that's not an issue. But, like... I don't know, maybe back in the day it probably was. I mean, I can imagine it was.
I can imagine too. So I would love to kind of, you touched on it a little bit. I would love to kind of know where you see the differences in identifying as transsexual versus transgender, because you said you were medically transitioning and all of this. And like, also too, I don't know if that like is a question that makes sense because I don't have full knowledge of being transgender, but I would love to know. Kind of how you see those two terms differently.
You know, I personally, for me, I don't really see them differently.
Okay, so for you, they're kind of interchangeable. Like, it wouldn't matter if I was like you're transsexual or you're transgender.
Yeah, I feel like if you read both those definitions, transgender is just in more words exactly what transsexual is. So like for me personally, like they're very interchangeable. Like. For sure, but I do feel like maybe transsexual would be, like, a little bit outdated, but, I mean, other than that, like, I don't see it being different.
Okay.
In a sense. I don't know. That's just me personally.
For sure. And like I said, it all comes down to, like, individuals, and I understand, like, where I fucked up, but, you know, I'm happy to be having this conversation.
Yeah, and, like, who knows? Maybe, like, I'll be listening to these podcasts, and somebody will come on and be able to, like... say something different than what I've said and maybe my mind will be changed from there. And I still have a lot to learn. Like I could still be educated in that area a lot more. Like, I mean, like being on hormones and like going through all this stuff is still super new to me. So I guess I never really, like, until you brought it up to me, I never overly thought about the difference between the two and if one fits me more than the other. But I feel like they both fit me, but like, that's just how I feel.
Which is totally valid too. And, you know, a big reason is why I wanted to have you come on here, because I think that what I'm seeing in the LGBTQ plus community is a lot more of people trying to get people to claim things, like people being like, you are gay, and people being like, I am me.
Well, nobody wants, here's the thing, like, here's how I see it from like a super like outsider's perspective, I guess, outsider's perspective, but like nobody wants to be labeled, but everybody wants to be called what they're called.
Absolutely.
Without a mistake. And so I feel like the without a mistake part is problematic. Like just that part, because like people are going to screw up and like, there's still, everybody's still learning. Like there's new identities and like, I just learned a new one today by gender.
Oh,
I had no idea what that was. So like there's still so much more that we can all learn and figure out that the without a mistake part becomes problematic, because like there's going to be mistakes no matter who you are. I'm in the community. I make mistakes all the time with stuff like that, but it's just about like correcting it in a positive way and then moving on and just like definitely learning from your mistakes. Yeah.
I completely agree. Obviously this is something that I went through, but I agree that the without a mistake part kind of is what feels the most problematic. Mm-hmm. Is like, before we were recording as well, we were talking about how there are so many different terms under the umbrella that I had no idea about. Yeah. And like an example for me is one of my friends had shared a story about him being bisexual, or like, I guess his first encounter with a man. And for me, that read him being bisexual. And when I asked him to be on the podcast, he was like, I actually identify as pansexual and like skew more towards women. So I wouldn't even like really call myself that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to
assume.
Yeah. And so I think that conversation was really productive, but there's also a lot of room to be like, for people to react in a way where they're like, fuck you. Like, da, 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 da. Like, this is not how I, and I'm like, like, I truly didn't mean to do that or say that, or like, you know, fuck up in awake
and like you didn't mean to offend anybody.
And I think too, I would love to know your opinion on this. I think too, a lot of people, like straight people, or I don't even want to say straight people, people in general, a lot of the time I think struggle to ask, because something that I think this is a straight people example, that a lot of my straight friends, when they see people who are obviously in the community, they're like, can I ask them like if they're gay or if they're like how they identify? And I think that in the past it was kind of like a fighting words type of thing.
Absolutely. Like you shouldn't be asking me that. Like, why does it matter to you?
Kind of thing. But I feel like now so many people are like, I want to know. So like, we don't have this encounter where I accidentally mislabel you and now you're mad at me. I would just like to,
No. I feel like the best way and the best, I mean, unless somebody's like willing to like openly give up their sexual orientation, like you never know like what that person's life is like, but like outside of you, right? So you don't unless they give you your sexual orientation, I don't feel like that's necessarily appropriate to ask. But like if it comes up in conversation and they're willing to like give you that information, of course, like, and like they're like, oh yeah, you can ask me whatever, then like obviously then it seems to be okay for them that you ask. But I think the best way is just like ask people's pronouns if you're unsure, especially the pronouns thing, because like the amount of times that like, oh, like still like my voice is still deepening, and the amount of times over a phone call people will be like, oh yeah, miss, and I'm like, actually it's sir. So unless you have me in front of your face and like you're not sure, like maybe don't misgender, or like don't gender people.
Yeah.
You know, like just don't, like there's a way around that. Like, and if you're unsure, just ask. Like, just, hey, what pronouns do you prefer? I got asked that the other day at work, actually. And I was like, yo, thank you so much for asking. Like, you're just one of my customers, but I appreciate that.
Because
now you're going to come in and you're always going to address me as I want to be addressed. And then I don't have to make that awkward. I don't have to, we don't have to have that awkward conversation of like, oh, actually, like it's he, not she, you know,
yeah.
Like, and I don't like, nobody wants to be like that person that makes you feel uncomfortable, and nobody wants to make other people feel uncomfortable. So I think it's just like asking the pronouns, and then yeah, if they're willing to give up like their sexual orientation and like give you more information on that, then for sure.
Absolutely. And so the last thing that I would love to kind of chit chat about and know your opinion on is, so someone else replied to a story and they were like, a couple of my friends like have said that the best way is to kind of just identify everybody as trans and just leave it at that. I would love to kind of know your opinion on it, if you think that is kind of the way to go, or if it's just like you should ask if it's one or the other, and or the many, because I'm sure there's like a lot of different trans and then whatever comes after that.
Mm-hmm.
Labels. Mm-hmm. I also just am realizing I don't really know a lot of them, but somebody said that like a great way to do it is just use a blanket term, but like I don't necessarily know how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. And I would love your opinion on it.
I don't, you know, I never really had to think about that before. I mean, I wouldn't consider, like, I wouldn't, like, label everybody as trans, especially if you don't know. But there's always a time and a place to bring these kind of things up, I mm-hmm. guess. Maybe if it's just you and that person and, like, you guys are clearly in, like, a safe environment and, like, you guys have clearly established, like, that sort of safe relationship, then I feel like it would be okay if you, like, brought it up in, like, a respectful way. Of like, not just like assuming, but like, I don't know. Ah, man, that's such a hard question.
I feel like they were kind of more so they were kind of coming at it as like describing or like talking about it on social media. Mm-hmm. So like versus saying something like transsexual or transgender or trans, all the other labels that I don't know, just saying trans and leaving it at that. Obviously, like, this example you being, like, friends with somebody, not just, like, out here, like, are you trans? You know what I mean? Like, because mm-hmm. we aren't having those conversations. But, you know, referring to that community as just trans.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I mean, each to their own, really, I guess, uh-huh. because I wouldn't take offense if you, like I say I'm trans all the time, or I say I'm transgender. Like, it's just, I don't know. I wouldn't, I don't know. I never really like thought about that.
I never did either.
And like, I don't think either are offensive because technically, again, both are true. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't, I guess technically, like if you are transgender, then you're trans, but then your sexual orientation would
be whatever you decided to be.
Yeah. So I don't think that takes away from you being trans. Like, me being straight and into women doesn't take away from the fact that, like, I'm still transgender, but I'm straight. I don't know.
This is also actually, this is a really interesting point, because the conversation that I was having with Adam and also with somebody in the DMs, they were like, a lot of trans people like to just be called whatever they've transitioned to. So instead of being like, I'm a trans guy, they're just like, I'm a guy and I'm straight. Yeah. And I asked Adam this question and he was like, I identify as like a trans guy. And I would love to know kind of how you feel about that too.
I mean, I feel like for me, it's definitely situational. Like, a lot of people know that I'm trans, but a lot of people don't know and they think that I am just a cisgendered male because like, I guess I pass enough that people wouldn't know. But so for me, it's definitely situational. But I wouldn't, yeah, it's definitely situational for me. But I mean, for the most part, I try to just say I'm a male, but I mean, I don't not identify as transgender because that's who I am. And that is a big part of me.
Yeah.
A big part of my journey. So
absolutely. I just wanted to know your opinion on it, because when it was said, I was like, oh, this is like very interesting, because I never would have thought of it that way.
Yeah, and I have a friend that, like, you would not know that he's trans at all, and he doesn't identify with trans. Nobody that he works with knows he's trans. Like,
he's like, just like, I'm a dude.
Like, yeah, and, like, has been on hormones since he was, like, super young and, like has been transitioning forever and, like, well, it's not transitioning. He's transitioned. and he's still got to get surgeries and stuff, and, like he just doesn't want to identify with that group. He doesn't come to Pride. It's not that he doesn't support the community. It's just that he doesn't overly want to identify with the community. Hmm. And so I think it's very interesting to me, but I think it's very like situational and like per person.
I completely agree. And, you know, everybody, like I said, is always entitled to identify however the heck they want to. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was a really interesting question. I thought I would ask you.
Yeah. No, thank you for asking. No.
And so
you've opened my brain and I've had to work my brain and to things I didn't even know.
Which I love. That's the whole point of all of these episodes, is just to have open conversations with a bunch of people who are willing to.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's how we learn and grow and continue to learn and grow.
Absolutely. Okay, so thank you so much for coming on this episode. Thank you for coming on the other episode as well. I really appreciate it. Before we wrap this one up, I would love for you to share where the people can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at thepineappleboy04, I do believe.
Okay, perfect. I will also put it in the show notes so you can check out Nixon over on Instagram. And with that being said, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to head to the show notes and check out everything that everybody has sent, linked, and different ways to support them down below. Make sure to subscribe to Hey Bitches wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to give the show a 5-star rating and review. It really does help me out and I would really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day. And for now, bye-bye, bitch.